I'd like you to turn with me this morning to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. The traditional Christian narrative as presented here in Luke chapters 1 and 2 contains over 120 verses compared to Matthew's narrative of 31 verses found in Matthew's chapters 1 and 2. Matthew alone, though, records the revelation to Joseph, the visit of the Magi, the threat of Herod concerning the massacre of the infants, and then the flight of Joseph and his family to Egypt. But Luke, on the other hand, alone recounts for us three angelic announcements. One to Zacharias, another to Mary, and the third to the shepherds. For the next three Sundays, we're going to look at each of those announcements in preparation, of course, for the Lord's Day, at Christmas Day. This Christmas story begins with Gabriel's announcement to Zacharias concerning the birth of his son, John the Baptist. This morning, as we focus on this announcement, let's see what we can learn about the character to whom this announcement is made to. That is Zacharias. And then I also want you to note the character to whom the announcement is being made. That is John the Baptist. But be mindful of this. Learning is good if it leads to a change in our character. So this morning, let's see if we can't learn something, apply it to our lives, of the character of Zacharias, of the character of John the Baptist. Well, we're going to begin here in Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 25. We have the angel appears unto Zacharias. In verses 5 through 10, we're going to look at the setting for the angel. And then in verses 11 through 18, we'll focus on the saying of the angel. And then finally, we're going to see the sign from the angel in verses 19 through 25. So let's begin our study this morning. Luke chapter 1, verse 5 through 10, the setting for the angel. Let's take a look at verse 5. And there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abi, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Well, what do we learn about Zacharias, whose name means Jehovah remembers? Well, we read that he was a priest after the course of Abiah. And know this, there were over 24 groups of priests, and they served twice a year for a week at a time. We know that from 1 Chronicles chapter 24. We read here that he was married to Elizabeth. And by the way, she also came from the priestly line. But I want us to focus on, what was the character of this man? What was the character of this man's wife? Look at verse 6. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinance of the Lord blameless. Now, they were righteous, we read here, in the fact that they kept God's commandments. Now, that's to say that they were without sin, because you and I know that there's only one that's been born without sin, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. What is he saying here? Well, what he's saying here is that it seems that our author is addressing their walk. In other words, their manner of life, and not so much their motives. You and I can do and obey God's commandments, but do so with the wrong motive. What we hear, the testimony is this, is as people looked out at Zacharias and Elizabeth, there was nothing that they could accuse them. There was no commandment that they could accuse them of violating. They were blameless when it came to the keeping of the Word of God. Now, that's pretty good, isn't it? Wouldn't that be wonderful if that could be said of you and I, that others, as they look at us, that the witness of our character was that we would be righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances. Look at your very first purpose. It says this, you know, I purpose to ask God if there's anything that he would have me to improve in my Christian walk, and then strive to do it. Now, whereas verse 6 addresses their spiritual condition, righteous before God, notice verse 7 addresses their physical condition. We read in verse 7, and they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren. And they were now well stricken in years. All right, now why didn't they have any children? Was it because Elizabeth was unable to bear children? Was it because the both of them were no longer fertile? Well, ultimately, you and I know that the reason why she had no children, the reason why they had no children, was because God had not opened up her womb. For it was not yet time for her to have a child. Now, no doubt this physical condition gave both of them a whole lot of opportunities to grow spiritually, to grow in their faith, to grow in their love, to grow in their love, believing that God still loved them, though they had not yet had a child, to grow in their patience, to grow in their mercy and meekness and in humility. Though Zacharias was most likely disappointed in that he had no heir, I want you to understand he was not immobilized. He continued to serve his Lord. That's why I put forth this purpose. Though my prayers for something remains unanswered, I purpose to continue to serve my God. Do not let an unanswered prayer immobilize you from serving your God. Keep on keeping on. Look at verses 8 through 10. And it came to pass that while he executed, see, he's still working, he's still serving. He executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office. His lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people, they were praying without at the time of incense. In God's providence, the lot had now fallen to Zacharias to burn incense in the temple. And of course, this was to symbolize the people's prayers being offered up unto the Lord. But understand this, because of the large number of priests, most likely one would never in his lifetime have this opportunity. But God had a plan for his people. He had a plan for Zacharias and for Elizabeth and for the nation of Israel. And it included them having a son. So here in verses 5 through 10, we saw the setting for the angel. But now watch. Let's note the saying of the angel in verses 11 and 12. We read these words. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. In each of the three appearances of this angel here in Luke chapters 1 and then Luke chapter 2, the individuals will all respond with fear. And I doubt whether any of us would have responded any other way. If an angel appears to you, if the angel Gabriel appears to you or he appears to me, I almost guarantee you we're going to respond with an element of fear. Yet on every occasion, the angel seeks to calm them by saying, fear not. We'll see that over and over. He will calm them down. He will seek to calm them down by with the words, fear not. verse 13. But the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Now, according to verse 13, focus in on it, Zacharias had been praying for a son. And we're told that his prayer had not gone unheard. Well, now how long do you think he's been praying? Been praying for years. Been praying for years. Now, do you suppose there's ever a moment in that time of praying that Zacharias came to the point and said, "I'm not going to have a son"? Probably been many occasions, wasn't there? But he prayed. And remember, what's his name mean? What Zachariah means? Jehovah remembers. So his name should, his name would just, every time he said his own name or someone spoke to him, it reminded him, Jehovah remembers. His wife, we're told, would bear a son. And we're told that he should call his name John. And this miracle baby would bring joy to them and is going to bring joy to others. Now, think back about the birth of your children. Most of us, or at least to most of us, they were a joy. I mean, you just rejoiced. I remember when our firstborn, Tina, was born. And I remember when Trent was born. Indeed, it was a joy to us. And it was also a joy to others, my mother especially. But John's going to be a special blessing because all the people for years have known Elizabeth's desire to have a child, Zacharias' desire to have a child. And now when the child comes, you know, the Bible tells us what? We're to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. And I'm certain that this is going to be a blessing. But he's going to be a blessing in many ways, John will be, because he's going to bring the truth to them, the Word of God. But we learn from this that sometimes we have to pray, and we have to pray for a long time. But I want you to note here, look at verses 15 through 17. Did you notice the five things the angel said that he, that is John, would do? Look at them very closely. Verse 15. Oh, he shall be great. Now look at this all. He's going to be great where? Yeah, in the sight of the Lord. Parents, don't press your child to be great in the sight of men. Press your children to be great in the sight of the Lord. That's what counts. He shall be great in the sight of the Lord. Look at the second one. He shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He's going to take the Nazarite vow of number 6. A vow that separated him unto the Lord. He was to be serving the Lord. Wow, what a thing to have a child separated unto the Lord to serve and serve him. Oh, watch this one. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. Now, we know that yet in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon him and fill him for a service. Coming a time, oh, with the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, when the Holy Ghost would come and abide within each and every one of us. But what a blessing to be able to say and know that your child was filled with the Holy Ghost. And then look at this one. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. He's going to turn them to the Lord their God. Let me just share that with you. I had you read the prophecy this morning, Isaiah 40, verse 3. I'm going to read to you now. If you want to follow with me, fine. Matthew 3, I'm going to read to you verses 1 through 6. Listen to how in the ministry of John the Baptist. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." And the same John had his raiment of camel hair and a leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and they were baptized of him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. His ministry was a ministry of reconciliation, reconciling man with God through confessing of their sins, through receiving the forgiveness of their sins from God. But watch what else we learn about this one. Watch this, number 5, verse 17. "And he shall go before him," that is Jesus, "in the spirit and power of Elias." Now, why is he going to do this? Watch this. This is very interesting. You want a ministry? Watch the ministry of John the Baptist. To turn the hearts of the fathers, where? To the children. But wait a minute. The disobedient, talking about the children, to the wisdom of the just, to their parents. To make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Boy, if there's a ministry needed today, and that is one to go forth ministering to broken families. Reuniting dads with the families. Reuniting children with their parents. A minister of reconciliation. Well, look at him. There's 5 different characteristics of this coming son. And how would you like to hear this description given to you about your child? How would you like others to describe you in such a manner? Take one of them. Man, he's great in the sight of God, huh? He's dedicated unto the Lord. He's separated to him. He's filled with the Holy Ghost. Man, look how he's turning the children to their Lord. How he's reconciling families together. Look at your purpose. I purpose to pray, God will bless my children, bless my grandchildren, and bless my great-grandchildren with one or all of these 5 blessings. Pick one out. Pick them all out. And pray them for your children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. Now, Zacharias, having heard all of this speech from Gabriel, he only has one question. Look at it. Look at verse 18. "And Zacharias said unto the angel," "whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years." What's Zacharias asking for, people? He wants a sign. Hello, I'm an old man. Have you seen my wife? This question reveals his what? Got doubt, doesn't he? Got a little doubt here. Lack of faith, huh? Now, look at the statement that he makes about him being an old man, his wife being stricken in years. That also reveals his doubt. Now, I want you to do this for me. Think about a question or a statement that you have recently made which might have revealed your lack of faith in that you doubted that God would do what he said he would do. You know, God tells us he's going to do a lot of things. Have you recently read a verse and said, "I kind of doubt that. Could you show me a sign?" Look at your purpose, please. I purpose to examine my recent questions and statements to see if they contain elements of doubting God. And if I have, you know what? I'm going to confess it. I'm going to ask for his forgiveness. Well, we've looked at the setting for the angel. Now we've seen the saying of the angel. We turn our last attention now to the sign from the angel. Beginning of verse 19, you know what the sign was going to be? Zechariah's mouth was closed. That's the sign. Look at verse 19 and 20 with me. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. All right, who's this angel? Gabriel. Where's his authority come from? What's he say? I stand in the presence of God. He says, I'm sent to speak to you, to show you. If I took you back to the first time we see Daniel mentioned in the Bible, we see Gabriel mentioned in the Bible in Daniel, Daniel chapter 8, verses 16 and 17, there we see not only Daniel fearing, but we also see Gabriel comes now to make him understand the vision that he just seen, to give him understanding. Later in chapter 9 of Daniel, verses 21 and 22, again, we read this. He came to give him skill and understanding, of the vision. Gabriel's coming was always to give understanding. Gabriel now is appearing unto Zacharias to give him understanding. And yet we see that there's a spirit of doubt in him. And because he shows this doubt, he says, I've come to speak to you. I've come to show you. But because of your doubt, there's going to be a sign. Now pay attention to this now, people. The sign was Zacharias was not going to be able to speak until the birth of his son. Now we're told that this particular sign would be given, look at it, because he had not believed Gabriel's words, which in turn were the words of God. Because they were the words of God, they're going to come true. Look at verse 21. And the people, they waited for Zacharias, and they marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple. For he beckoned unto them, and they remained, and he remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration was accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself for 5 months, saying, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. By the word of God, Zechariah's speech and Elizabeth's shame was taken away. What I want you to think about is this. Any one of us can receive a sign from God if we fail to believe his word. And you scratch your head and say, what is he talking about? Well, let me show you. Just turn with me to the book of Proverbs, please. Keep your marker here, because we're coming back. But I want you to see, and you're going to be able to say, you know what? God's already given me a sign. God has given. What kind of sign is this that he gave to him? A sign of what? Judgment. Judgment for what reason? Because he didn't what? He didn't believe what? He didn't believe the word, did he? You say, well, you think God would would give me a sign of judgment if I don't believe? Well, let's just take a look at five illustrations. Proverbs 6. Look at verses 9 through 11. Proverbs 6. He says this, "Hey, how long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Oh, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man." Don't believe what God says. Don't you believe it. Doubt it. Take your ease. Rest. Don't work. See what happens. A sign will come to you. You know what that sign will be? Tell me from this passage. What will it be? Poverty. Turn to me. Proverbs 15. We can spend all day in Proverbs. Proverbs 15. Look at verse 1. Proverbs 15:1. Want another sign? Hey, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Want to have a sign from God? A sign of judgment? You just be an angry person and see what it stirs up. That comes the sign. The sign is you're going to be in a situation of great anger. Proverbs 16. Look at verse 16:18. Oh boy, pride goeth before destruction, haughty spirit before fall. I don't believe that. I doubt that. Well, watch and see what happens to the proud and arrogant person. See if they, in fact, don't have a sign as a fall. Proverbs 23. I think you're starting to get the point, aren't you? Proverbs 23. Look at verses 23 through 28. He says, 26, I'm sorry. Proverbs 23, verse 26. My son, give me thine heart, and let thy eyes observe my ways, says a mother, says a father. For a whore is a deep ditch, and a strange woman is a narrow pit. She also lieth in wait as a prey, and increaseth her transgressions among men. Now, you want a sign? Don't listen to your father. Don't listen to your mother. And watch and see the consequence that comes. It's a sign. It's a sign that God's word is what? True. It's a sign that God's word is true. One more, and we'll stop with these illustrations. Proverbs 29, verse 15. 29, verse 15 says this. Hey, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Listen, what we don't look at, we as we turn back to Luke, we look at Zacharias, this priest, and he has Gabriel speaking to him, and he's doubting. He's doubting the word of God. How could he doubt the word of God, people? And want a sign? Well, God gave him a sign. Now, you and I might not even ask for the sign when we doubt and disobey God's word. But you know what? He's faithful that he's going to give us a sign. He'll give us a sign that his word is true. And that sign is the judgment that he's spoken of. Whether I'm in poverty, and on and on. Have you recently received a sign because of your failure to believe the word of God? Look at your purpose on your sheet. because I do not want to receive a sign of judgment from God as a result of my doubting his word. You know what? I'm going to purpose to trust and obey. All right, so the first sign, hey, Zechariah's mouth was closed. Now watch, Zechariah's mouth was open. And we got to jump over here to, and let's jump over to verse 57. Verse 57. We're still in chapter 1, but we're going to go over to verse 57. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day, time of circumcision, they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias. Well, normally, first born after the father, okay? After the name of the father. And his mother answered and said, oh, not so, but he shall be called John. And they said unto her, there's none of thy kindred that's called by this name. And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing tablet, and he wrote, saying, his name is John. And they all marveled. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake, and he praised God. And all they that heard them laid up in their hearts, saying, what manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. Okay, when did Zacharias receive his speech back, people? When he wrote, saying, his name is John. Okay, so what was so significant about him doing that? What was he demonstrating? Faith and, give me the obedience, right? Faith and obedience. He was demonstrating obedience to the word of God. Well, let me read to you again, chapter 1, verse 13. And the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Would you like to see God remove his sign of judgment from you? How do you suppose that could happen? What must you do? You must do what? Obey the word. What judgment is he bringing on you because you've failed to obey his word? You want it taken from you? Do like Zacharias did. Obey. Look at your purpose, please. You know what? Because I want God to take away his sign of judgment upon me, I purpose to obey his commandments. Now, what you and I have read this morning is just a prelude to the birth of Jesus Christ. Hopefully, we've learned something about the character of Zacharias and also the character of John the Baptist. Now, concerning Zacharias, we've learned that even those who walk righteously before God, he walked righteously before God in keeping his commandments, can what? Even those individuals can stumble and fall in unbelief. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, we're cautioned not to take heed, lest you what? Lest you fall. So we learn that. That listen, even though we've been, man, we've been walking that righteous path, we've been walking that righteous path, any and all of us can fall into a state of unbelief and doubting the word of God. Zacharias did not believe God could bring forth life where there was no life. He looked at himself. He looked at his wife. And he doubted that there could be any life brought from them. The womb of his wife, he believed, was dead. But our God is a giver of life. We know that from John chapter 5, verse 21. Physical life, spiritual life. Is there someone you think will never give birth? Well, don't give up. Don't give up. Is there someone that you believe will never experience the second birth? The spiritual birth. You say, I've looked at that. I've talked to that person. There's no way. There's no way. Let me close by giving you a little hope by reading to you Matthew chapter 19, verse 16. Matthew 19. Is there someone you believe can never be saved? Because they're so dead in sin? Because they're just so wretched? Well, let me read these verses as I close. Matthew 19, verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good Master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said to him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Was he indicating he was God? No. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith to them, Which? Jesus saith, Well, thou shalt do no murder, sixth commandment. Thou shalt not commit adultery, seventh commandment. Thou shalt not steal, the eighth commandment. Thou shalt not bear false witness, the ninth commandment. Hey, honor your father and mother, the fifth commandment. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, the tenth commandment. By the way, all those commandments deal with our relationship with others. The first four commandments deal with our relationship with God. He just mentions our relationship with others here. But he goes on, he says this. And the young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up, but yet lack I. He knew there was something still missing. Jesus said to him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily, verily, I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. You think so-and-so, you look at them, you say, man, they're just past redemption. Well, the most difficult person to be saved is the rich man. Because the rich man is trusting in his what? Yeah, himself and his own riches. The person who trusts the most in himself is the one who's most difficult to be saved. But listen to what comes next. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed. And they said, Then who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and he said to them, With men this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Zacharias turned out to be a very positive influence on us in that he repented and he obeyed the word of God in calling his son John. There's redemption for any and all of us. If there has been a principle of God's word, a spoken word of God that we've doubted, he won't bring judgment. I can do this and nothing will happen to me. And it's come upon you. The sign has come. You've got the sign that God's word is true. Listen, you don't have to remain in that state. When John obeyed and called his son John, it was taken away. Our obedience to the word of God, our trust and obedience to God's word lifts that sign of judgment from us. Let's show that same character that Zacharias did and obey. Trust and obey. And then concerning John the Baptist, we learned that he would be great. We learned that he would be separated, that he would be filled, that he would turn many to the Lord, that he would go before the Lord. Listen, just take one of those characteristics and pray to God to instill it in you. Go out and seek to practice it. Man, practice being filled this week, huh? You say, well, how do I know if I'm filled? Well, you go to Galatians 5, you read the qualities of walking in the Spirit, and then do it. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness. Well, thank God we've had the first announcement, and we're heading towards the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Next week, we'll see the announcement, Lord willing, of Gabriel to Mary concerning the birth of her son. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for just this opportunity to look at the character of Zacharias and Elizabeth and to look at the character of their son. Lord, we would pray and ask that you would bless each and every one of us, that others would look at us and truly say that we are righteous in that we obey the word of God. Lord, we've learned that even the most righteous can stumble and fall and doubt. So I pray that you'd help us to be cautious and wise, understanding that only by thy grace and thy grace alone can we remain faithful to you and your word. But Lord, if it's true that we have doubted your word, as evidenced by our disobedience to your word, I pray, Father, that you would bless us with a spirit of repentance, as evidenced by our obedience to you and to your word. Lord, we pray that you would lift that sign of judgment from us. Help us, Lord, to obey you. Now we just thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' precious name, amen.